With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome, dear listener, to this week's EvoStick Extra. My name is Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be previewing this weekend's league matches in the Premier Division, as well as catching up with the latest upsets from the Dudeson. All of that and a little bit more on this week's EvoStick Extra. So welcome everybody to this week's EvoStick Extra. Very shortly we're going to be hearing from James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group with a review of last weekend's fixtures in the Premier Division and in the Dudeson this past week as well. And later on we'll be hearing from Whitby Town Radio's very own Andrew Snaith with a preview for this weekend's fixtures in the league. And before we get started properly, we should say if you want a preview for Stourbridge against Nantwich in the FA Trophy, just listen to last week's podcast, it's perfect. But before all of that, now, EvoStick Extra is a Premier Division, a Northern Premier League Premier Division podcast. We decided to separate the things out and allow Division 1 North and Division 1 South to have their own space for an hour every single month where we discuss that league there and both divisions and that kind of thing. However, this week, there's been some breaking news, which we cannot really ignore, because Division 1 North has more drama than your standard episode of Cagney and Lacey. And for that reason, we have to turn to it. And making his 800th appearance, it feels, on EvoStick Extra this season, it's now time for the regular spot. Hello, Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. How are you?
I'm all right, although there is a flaw in my master plan in that I'm having to come up with increasingly elaborate ways to get onto the show.
So they are over elaborate. Now, for those people who've been living on the moon for the last couple of nights, there was some breaking news on Thursday. We should say the rest of this podcast has all been pre-recorded on Wednesday, so some of the tone of cheeriness and happiness and that kind of thing and sheer ignorance for what's going on in Division 1 North is perfectly understandable. So please forgive myself from the past and Andrew Snaith and James Hayes. But this is the current now, Friday afternoon. We're discussing this with Andrew Simpson, Warrington Town, parting company with Sean Reid. No one saw this coming, did they?
No, I don't think so at all. Certainly no one saw it coming in terms of the timing. Warrington, 8 points clear at the top of the table. That was cut slightly by a win for Northwich on Wednesday night against Ossett Town, but certainly in a position where they had started to say publicly that it's our title to lose. You'd think that all is well, all is strong, well, it's looking good on course to be promoted as champions. And then this is now kind of becoming the division that no one seems to want to win. I mean, the two leading teams, the two best teams, the two teams who've been out in front all season have now in the space of, probably less than a month, or certainly a month, have both changed their manager or had undergone a managerial change. So everything you thought you knew from last week's record kind of has been thrown on the bonfire, really.
It's Division 1 South that I feel so far, because, you know, we're not ignoring Division 1 South. It's a standard story league. It's like there's a team who's doing really well. There's some runners and riders behind them. There's a couple of managerial changes in with clubs in mid-table, and there's a relegation dogfight. That's just a standard league. What's going on in Division 1 North is baffling, to be frank.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. I mean, obviously now everyone's talking about, totally, perfectly understandably, what's going to happen now? How will this impact on the title race? What's going to happen at Warrington? All eyes. I mean, Warrington already had a difficult game tomorrow. They're home to Ossett Albion. It's not going to be, it's not going to be a gimme by any means. And my colleague on our sister paper at Warrington has spoken to Sean Reid this morning. You can see the full interview of what he said on the Warrington Guardian's website. But to give you a gist of that, I mean, Sean Reid has said to him, I was preparing the team for Saturday. So this is something that literally has, those circumstances have changed in the past 24 hours. He spoke to us for our paper on Tuesday, and he was telling us about new players he was hoping to bring in, talking openly about the game. There's no inkling on his side that this was coming in the days since. So it all broke last night around tea time or early evening. And actually, the story was broke by Sean's brother, Peter, in a tweet where he tweeted a picture of a draft of the statement that Warrington had prepared to announce that Sean Reid was leaving. So that kind of took control of the announcement away from Warrington in any case. And then about half an hour, 40 minutes later, that was then confirmed by them. And it's gone from there. I'm told by my colleague that Sean Reid, you know, he was emotional this morning. He's upset at what's happened, and didn't foresee this coming. If you haven't had a chance to read it yet, basically the club have said that they weren't planning on renewing his contract next season, no matter what. So it's brought things to a head. And he said, well, if I'm not in your long-term plans, what's the point of me staying? And the only mutual bit about this, despite what the statement might say, is that they then both agreed that, well, if you're not going to be here next season, then I might as well go now.
I don't think necessarily Sean Reid would have found out the way he did. And I don't think Warrington Town would have liked it to be released the way it was. And it's kind of just a bit of a mess, to be honest.
I think it is. And, you know, we have tried to speak to Toby McCormack, the chairman of Warrington Town, this morning. He has said he doesn't want to say any more in addition to the statement that was put out last night. The only way he was prepared to slightly move it on is that he was prepared to confirm that he was the one, as the chairman, that made this decision. So he's taken responsibility for making this decision. So if it goes wrong, then obviously he will be, I would imagine, held accountable for that choice.
I mean, the thing is, we've had Toby McCormack on in the past, and he's a great guy and a great chairman, and the club's got a plan. It just seems to me like it's happening so fast that it's probably the right option just to sit for a moment or two and then come out and go, maybe over the weekend when the dust has settled, to explain the decision further.
And he might do that. You know, to be fair, he might come and do that. He might obviously, you know, he wants the players to be, all the best with this, he wants the players not to be distracted by what's happening, to try and get the 3 points that they need against Dorset Albion at the weekend. I perfectly understand that. The statement was fascinating. I mean, they're prepared to concede. You know, it says clearly the board had made a decision that Sean Reid was not going to be the manager next season. So that's something that you don't just fall out of bed and make that decision. They've obviously been talking about this for a period of time. I can't define that period of time because they're not prepared to say, but this has been on their agenda.
And when we spoke to Toby in the past, and it's clear with the statements that you get from Warrington that they're a very ambitious club. They've got backers. They want to be in the Football League at some point. And up until quite recently, it did look like Warrington weren't actually going to do it. So this season with Northwich being so strong. So you can see that maybe the decision was coming from a while back, and they've just kind of not expected to overturn Northwich the way they have done.
Perhaps not. You know, we talked last week about form on the pitch. They are absolutely flying at the moment. They've lost two league games, and you know, the conversations earlier in the season was, how can anyone possibly keep pace with Northwich? Warrington managed it, and obviously in the last few weeks have overtaken Northwich. It's been an extraordinary sequence of results that they put together, scoring loads of goals, keeping things tight. You know, everything was going right is still going right on the field. Although obviously have to wait, everyone, we're all waiting to see now how the players are gonna react in the next few games. And I mean, what Warrington have done, there isn't a continuity element. And again, this is some, you know, in the small amount that Toby was prepared to say today, he said we've gone for continuity. The players know the standings that we've appointed. They were part of Sean Reid's support staff, his backroom staff, so there's no kind of change in so much as how week to week, day to day, the players are going to be working, because they know these two guys. So they're saying that we feel that we can still get the job done, we can still get our objective of being promoted without Sean Reid being there. Obviously, you know, time will tell on that. But it's in a season of twists and turns, it's arguably the biggest twist that we've had.
And I'm not going to say they should be thankful, but it does feel like the top two teams now are kind of a bit sore with regards to off the pitch, and that can affect on the pitch. And it's kind of unlucky for the clubs behind them that they've opened up such a gap. Because
yeah, I think someone said to me at the office this morning, you know, do you think that does open it up? And the answer is probably no, for that reason that you say, in that the likes of a Glossop or a Spennymoor, or we talked about Farsley in detail last week, they would have to go on a pretty extraordinary run, coupled with
them going on an extraordinary
fall. Yes. A pretty big. And I know Northwich, before they played Ossett on Wednesday, had only picked up 4 points from 12, but then they've got back to winning ways. They're at home to Drulsden tomorrow. They'll expect to win again tomorrow. I think that there was always going to be a period of adjustment for Adam Lakeman, in so much as he was not only coming into a club mid-season, and that he's learning now how to be a manager on the job. So there's always going to be a little bit of a kind of disruption and a little bit of inconsistency there anyway. But now we have genuine question marks against both clubs. I mean, I suppose what that does do is it adds, if it wasn't interesting enough already, it does add a little bit more intrigue to the title race. And I think we're probably all fools now to try and predict the winner. I still believe it's slight advantage Warrington, for the old cliche. They have got the points on the board.
And they have been without Sean Reid for a time during this period, during the season as well, where they did win matches.
Exactly. So you would still, therefore, if you did have any spare change to put money on, it probably would still go to them. But I think it's certainly more in doubt than obviously it was 24 hours ago. And for us watching and following or reporting on it, then that's great.
Well, Andrew Simpson, just to say, we've got the Division 1 show coming up towards the end of this month. And at that point, I hope that the dust has well and truly settled over this issue. And we'll invite Toby McCormack on to basically see where we are with Warrington Town for the future as well. So hopefully those questions will be answered in the coming month or so. But Andrew Simpson, that website, one more time, for the Warrington Guardian for what's going on at Warrington at the moment.
Yeah, warringtonguardian.co.uk/sport. And I think actually the two pieces on Sean Reid in the past day or so are the two most read now on their website. It's obviously a story that even in a rugby league town, even a story that has piqued the interest of local football fans there, but also more widely, because of course Warrington have firmly been on the map in non-league circles since their FA Cup run last season. There's a lot of interest in this. So yeah, go there to read the full interview that Sean Reid's given this morning.
Well, Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, go back to your Division 1 rock and await further instruction later in the month.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks for that. Cheers. So, it's now time to look back at last weekend's couple of matches, as well as the midweek stuff. And later on, we'll also be discussing the Integro Dudeson third round as well with your friend and mine. It's now time to welcome back James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group. Hello, James. How are you?
All right, Ben. How was the trip to Telford last night?
All right, okay. All right, you set the tone. It's a lovely stadium. It's going to be great for the Northern Premier League next season. There, I've said it. I'm not bitter. Three goalkeepers in one half. How does that happen, James? Three goalkeepers
no
in one half.
No idea.
Anyway, that's my rant over. If you're a Northern Premier League supporter and you've got no idea what me and James are talking about there, good. You don't want to know. We did a very exciting podcast last week where we did a fixture preview for the big FA Trophy match between Nantwich and Stourbridge. We got both managers on. We got Adam on. We got Johnny Crowther on. It was all going so well, postponed. And then they were going to do it midweek, postponed. And the match is going to now take place on Tuesday. But just before we get into the league, If you want a good preview for this Tuesday's FA Trophy third round match between Stourbridge and Nantwich Town, listen to last week's podcast. It's really good. But the weather did take hold last weekend, which is very disappointing, but not much that can be done about it. There were two matches which survived the weather, and both were pretty crucial in different ways. Sutton Coldfield Town 2, Stamford 0. So not a very good result that for Stamford at all.
No, again, it's not going to get any easier for him at all. As well, as I said last week, with the games they've got yet to play in February, it's looking more and more like doom and gloom. I can't even read Stampy's Twitter feed. The form's on their side as well at this moment. That's what's surprising. And they're more than capable of challenging Whitby, Marine and Colwyn at the moment. And when we've said it was an absolute closed door for relegation. Mm-hmm. But Stamford, the worst defence in the league officially. They've not had a home clean sheet all season either. It's looking more and more likely that the drop is looming now, I'm afraid.
Well, we'll come back to Stamford in a second as well, because it does get worse. We'll come to that in a second, because that's in the Dudeson. But also on Saturday, Workington 1, Marine 0. A big result that for Workington, but a disappointing result for Marine. But to be expected, I'm going to imagine.
Yeah, Workington again on absolutely on fire at this moment in time. Six wins out of six now, and then scoring for fun at this moment in time. Looking at all the charts, how the league teams are doing, they're pretty much top of everything. Obviously, they've got Blyth, Salford and Ashton away yet to come. So that's going to be their biggest games are going to be against them to try and make that gap up. Because, again, 5 points is a lot when you've got even games. And, okay, there's still 16 games left to play, but it's going to be very, very tough working to get through that. But good wins against teams that they need to beat.
We'll come back to Marine in a second, but you mentioned Blyth there. Blyth have maintained that five-point gap over Workington. They've done that by a midweek win against Ilkeston. A 44th-minute penalty, though, by Robbie Dale. I wasn't there, so I can't really comment, but that's a bit tighter than I'd imagine Blyth fans would like, I think.
Yeah, a lot more closer, but it's just looking at the last couple of games for him as well, it's been a similar sort of situation, except for the defeat at Workington last week just gone. They're only losing to the teams at that top half of the table. They've played everyone in the top six now, but everyone's moving towards Blyth to win the league now. It's all in their hands.
We mentioned Workington. One team who I don't think will have given up at all at the moment is Darlington. Darlington are currently in fourth position. They're 11 points behind Blyth Spartans, but they have four games in hand. And they sent a message out on Tuesday night, beating Matlock at home by 3-0.
Yeah, great win for Darlington. Again, Matlock seems to like to travel quite a lot at the moment. Majority of the points coming from away games. Again, the only real challenge I can see for Blyth at this moment in time is Darlington. They're scoring second best form in the league at this moment in time. They've only failed to score twice all season as well. They've got the strike force potential there. And even then, they've still got an entire division to look to if they look short of players. So Darlington are going to push Blyth, but they've still got to play Salford twice yet, obviously, because the game on Saturday got called off. It's what they can do against Salford, I reckon, this coming week. And it's not going to be... Again, if Darlington lose that game and they've still got... Obviously, they've still got Salford and Ashton to visit their place, you're still going to be looking at an uphill struggle, looking at the fixtures that are left for both teams.
We'll be covering off that big match between Salford and Darlington, as well as all the other fixtures for Saturday, which we hope are going to be on and beat the weather, with Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio very shortly. Let's go down to the bottom end of the table now. And we mentioned Marine's defeat on Saturday. It was a bit better midweek, but only a bit better. It was a 2-2 draw at home to Corwin Bay. A good away point there for Corwin Bay. I'm going to suggest now, I think the experts on the MPL show in January were wrong to write off Corwin Bay, because Corwin Bay now, admittedly, they played a couple of games more than Marine and one game more than Whitby, but they're now only 2 points from safety at the moment.
Yeah, but you've got to consider as well who they've got to left to play. But even then, they've both got similar oppositions left to play. And again, looking at Whitby Town at this moment in time, at their fixtures, all three teams have completed pretty much their entire fixture list against the top six as we speak. The best opportunity for me is they've still got to play Colwyn, Stamford and Ramsbottom at 5 out of 6 fixtures that are left. And the defence isn't necessarily the worst. They're not getting the clean sheets, but...
You're right, they've played 20... how many goals less is that? 22 goals less conceded than Corwin Bay. That's going to do them right if they keep that kind of defensive record up.
Yeah, you've got, again, coming into the business end of the season now, the goal difference is worth an extra point in itself, as long as you can get the results that you need. I mean, obviously, Marine's chairman's come out this week for the same rally call he put out last year, saying he doesn't want a similar situation again. And obviously, before the AGM Cup comes in, I don't think there is going to be an AGM Cup this year. I think this could be with what's going on in other divisions. So I think we could see four teams going down.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well,
Without sounding like Michael Owen, obviously, I don't think there's going to be a safety buffer at all.
I think the four teams with the least points this season will get relegated. That's my Michael Owen impression. I hope you enjoyed that. Just one last result from the midweek, and that's Fitchell Athletic 5-1. And I'm just going to say this to you, James. Fitchell Athletic, 7 points from the playoffs at the moment.
Still a bit of an ass with respect.
Well, there you go. It was a bit of an ass for Fricker to stay up this season, but look at them there, 5-1.
Very true. Very true. And again, with future games coming up, they've got to play quite. Actually, they've got to play quite a few of the top eight teams at this moment. So, again, it is a bit of an ask, especially because teams in the top end have still in the top half of the table have still got to play each other as well. Obviously, draws wouldn't help Frithy in a situation there. They are scoring goals week in, week out, which is what Nantwich and look at where they line at this moment in time. Maybe it could be a stepping stone for next year, and who knows, Frickley fighting for the title. You never know, especially the amount of times we've joked about him on the podcast and everything like that.
Well, from yesteryear, that's pretty much where they were once upon a time, isn't it? That's the case, isn't it? It's now time for the Integro Dudeson League Cup third round roundup. And on this week, we've had two matches in the Integro Dudeson League Cup third round. And my word, James, my word, haven't Division 1 South done well? Stamford 1, Carlton Town 3.
I think I'm not being funny, but I'll call this one last week when we said the draw.
We called it.
Well, we did, true. But I don't think it was the same sort of standards as people were expecting. I think Stamford there, I've missed a big opportunity to try and save their season.
Well, you said last week that they're running the Dudes, and it might be distracting from the act of trying to survive in the league, but it can act as a pick me up. And at the same time, on the other side of the coin, it can work the other way as well, can't it? And yeah. And that's not a good result that for Stamford.
No, I mean all credit there to Carlton. You can't write any team off in that league at this moment. Most of the teams are still within 10, 12 points of the playoffs. So the only team that you can really rule out at this moment in time is Tividale down the bottom end, who are rock bottom at this moment. So for that, for Carlton, is a great result. A place in the quarterfinals for them there. I'm just hoping the final doesn't get moved because it's two Division 1 South sides. Sorry to say that, people.
If you're listening from a Division 1 South perspective, you want it to be up here in Manchester. It's the place to be, and you don't want the Coventry team having to travel south. I mean, no one wants that, do they? Right, anyway. So, in the other match, Sutton Coldfield Town 2, Kidsgrove Athletic 2. We did say that this one had the potential to be a bit of a thriller, and then it went to a penalty shootout. And Kidsgrove Athletic won by 4-2. So Kidsgrove and Carlton through to the next round. What does that mean?
It means we've got two Division South sides in the quarterfinals.
That's right.
And we've got two Division South sides picking up some prize money.
So just to let you know what's coming up in the Dudeson, I think there's one more match coming up shortly, which is Ilkeston against Daventry Town, another chance for Division 1 South to get a scalp. And then on Tuesday night, there's four matches, Colwyn Bay against Trafford, Farsley Celtic against Scarborough, Marine v Workington, and Ossett Town against Darlington. So there's three opportunities there for Division 1 North sides to join in the act. Can we have, James, can it be possible to have three Division 1 South sides and three Division 1 North sides left in the competition at the end of this week?
We had three Division 1 North sides in the semi-finals last year. That's definitely not something that you can look out for, but there are going to be some teams left in the competition in the Premier that will be giving it a go. Again, no disrespect to Wilkeston here, but I reckon they're one of the teams that could not ditch the league, for example, but look more towards a cup victory here.
So at the end of next week's fixtures, we reckon there's going to be the quarterfinal draw, and we'll have more on that in the coming weeks of the on our Integro Dudeson League Cup roundup. But it's now time to move on and to ask James, where are you going tonight? We're recording this on Wednesday. Where are you going tonight, James?
I'm off to the world legendary Manchester Cup semi-finals.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. The reason why we're recording this a bit early, because we know how bad Stellenbosch's phone signal is.
Yeah.
But again, that's an opportunity there for Division 1 North sides to meet again in that final, because the semi-final number one is Mosley v Trafford. And Mosley, we know, loved this competition because he won it for the last 3 years going. So last go face them, sorry, in the final for once. But come on, Borough, let's knock out the... We've already beaten both Ashtons. We might as well take Staleybridge out at the same time.
So just
to Mosley in the final.
Just to say, if you're listening to this podcast and this radio show from another county of the North, I do apologise for how biased that was towards Manchester's Premier Cup, but we only did that because Radcliffe Borough are playing Stalybridge tonight, and
James, and we're in the semi-final,
and James is all excited and that kind of thing. But James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, also sponsored by EvoStick. How can people get in touch with you and complain about what you say on this show?
At facebook.com/groups/ the MPL, and on Twitter at the MPL group. And a reminder, from this Saturday coming on, you'll be able to start your voting for the EvoStick League Supporters Player of the Season.
That's right. Boom.
All the information will be on the MPL group on Saturday night, and it'll be going on the league website from Monday. But keep your eye out on the Twitter as well.
James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, thank you so much for joining us this week, and we'll be hearing from you next week.
Yes, you will be indeed. Hopefully, I'll be in a nice, happy mood because we'll be in the final.
Thanks, James, and have a good night tonight. So, enough about the past. It's now time to be optimistic and say that this fixture preview is going to be a fixture preview for fixtures which are actually going to be taking place this weekend with not one single postponement, because, let's be honest, it's very annoying doing a whole podcast and then finding out that only two matches got played. But hopefully we're going to have a full plethora of fixtures played this Saturday, and to preview them now in a very efficient and well-mannered and professional manner, we're now joined by the well-mannered and professional Andrew Snaith from the even more professional Whitby Town Radio. Hello, Andy, how are you?
Hiya, Ben. I'm not too bad, thank you. I haven't been described as that for a while. I feel I'm going to have to raise the bar a little bit.
I was happy with that introduction. It came from nowhere. I go and pick my son up from school and I come back with that. Amazing. Anyway, so this weekend, there's all kinds of matches taking place. We'll start with this one, though. Whitby Town against Workington. We're going to start with that because obviously Whitby's close to your heart. And we've not had you on now for over a month. And in that time, Whitby have been making waves, if you will.
Indeed, nice pun. They're just on the correct side of the bottom four dividing line at the moment, Whitby. And also buoyed, I think, by the sides around us dropping points as well. Not too long ago, the likes of Marine, Colwyn Bay, Skelmersdale had five or six games in hand, and they've been dropping them left, right and centre, including Tuesday night when Marine and Colwyn Bay drew 2-2, keeping themselves below that. We'll be just 2 points clear, of course, so lots of work still to be done. And Workington in fantastic form, 11 wins from the last 12 games, chasing Blythe down at the top of the league. There's 5 points between them, so extremely tough. But it's the third time that these two teams have met. Workington winning 3-1 in the first league game, but we'll be taking revenge with a superb 3-0 win in the FA Trophy match back in October.
Now, obviously, this is a local derby for Whitby. So going into this one, Workington are banging form. In fact, the most form side going into this. What's your view on the top of the table at the moment? Because Workington really come into it over the last... to be fair, they were never out of it, really. But the last couple of months in particular. And they are capable of hunting Blythe down, aren't they?
Absolutely they are, yeah. They're a big, strong side, well organised, well drilled. I thought they were a little susceptible to pace. Whitby picked them off on the break when they beat them in the trophy. I don't know whether that was just an off day for Workington. The recent results suggest it was. They even beat Blythe just over a week ago in that big game, 2-0 midweek. They've done terrifically well, yeah. Good consistent side, the home and away as well, so they can certainly do it on their travels as well, so not just benefit from the remote location too. Yeah, they're a terrific side, Workington. It is still a live title race. I still make Blythe the favourites, but Workington, Salford, Darlington, all still in the hunt.
Absolutely. We'll move on now to Blythe. Blythe this weekend, I'm not going to suggest it's a three-point banker because Lucas Martin's done that for me. Again, if Blythe win every game and Darlow don't, we'll be champions. Thank you, Lucas.
You can't argue with that.
He's the new Michael Owen. It's superb. But if we have to be serious, with all due respect to Rama, this should be a walkover. Now, Lucas, at this point, Andrew Snaith's going to say that that's not the case, aren't you?
I am, actually, yeah. Dangerous word, walkover. Yeah, don't be jinxing your side like that. There are no easy games in this league. I know it's cliche, but there aren't. Ramsbottom are a decent side on their day. Unfortunately for them, when they're not on their day, they could get hit for three or four goals. I think we saw that just over a week ago. They were well beaten, I think at Grantham, if I remember rightly. So, it's extremely tough for Ramsbottom to go to the league leaders. You'd expect on form for Blyth to win comfortably, but this league is weird. You can't take games for granted at all. It could still be close, but you would expect Blyth to win.
Now, looking on these matches for Blyth and Workington is two teams in particular, Salford City and Darlington. Both teams play each other this weekend at Moor Lane. This one, with all due respect to all the other fixtures, is possibly game of the day, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big one on and off the field. There's been a bit of antipathy between the supporters of both
banter.
Sides for a couple of seasons.
Call it banter.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll call it banter, Ben. They've had a bit of a ding-dong battle ever since they locked horns in the First Division North. Both teams, of course, promoted last season from that league. So continuing that rivalry here, just 2 points separate them. Darlington have three games in hand. So I think Salford will regard it as a must-win. Perhaps that'll be the case for all the games remaining this season if they're going to really challenge Blyth at the top of the league. But yeah, terrific game at Moors Lane. It's set up to be a classic. There's been a bit of unpleasantness regarding the allocations of tickets and things. We won't get into that, but it should be a terrific game, Ben. Yeah, game of the day for sure.
And it's definitely a must-win for Salford given recent events. They're only 9 points behind Blyth. They have a game in hand. The time to close that gap is getting narrower, though, unfortunately. Darlington, they've got four games in hand over league leaders Blyth Spartans. The gap, 11 points. But again, we'll say every single show, points on the board versus games in hand. Where do you stand?
Oh, it's a tricky one, isn't it? I think points on the board, for sure. Certainly at the wrong end of the league, that's proven to be the case.
In particular, when you get to mid-February and you're now starting to think, oh, I've got to fit in these fixtures now in this time frame.
Well, Darlington are going to be having two games a week until the end of the season, pretty much, you would have thought. Perhaps even three if they have a couple more postponements. So, yeah, you're right. You think that even though they've got a big squad, if they do have a couple of games in close succession, you know, a Monday night or after a Saturday, then it's going to be tough and you're going to see a slight dip. It's inevitable. It's a tricky one. It's a real interesting one, isn't it? Just to call from a neutral's perspective, because it really could go either way. Salford, after all their problems at home, have really turned that around now. They've only lost four times at home, and I suspect most of those were in the first couple of months of the season. So it's really hard to call. Having seen both sides, Salford on the day, for me, are the most destructive. But strength in depth for Darlington, it's right in the balance for me.
Now then, even though we're in mid-February, I'm going to suggest, speaking on behalf of all the pundits and journalists and analysis folk that we have on this show, that three of the playoff spots are now nailed on between four sides, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the sides just outside the playoff positions, and you think Barwell have played a lot of games. They've only got 15 left compared with the likes of Ashton and Darlington. Stourbridge just below, they've been on a brilliant run of form. They're only a point behind Ashton, and they've only played one game more. So they'll think that they've got a decent chance. Nantwich, you know, they've gone out a little bit themselves. I think teams have started to catch up with their games in hand, and they're down in eighth. So you look at Nantwich and you look at Stourbridge, and you think that they're the two that are going to compete with the four that are in the current positions. And then you sort of think Rushall, maybe. Frickley is a bit of an outside bet after thumping Buxton 5-1 in midweek.
Interesting. They will think so. Well, let's start with the team who's in the playoffs at the moment in that fifth spot. Ashton United, they're hosting Rushall Olympic. Rushall, I think, have got an outside chance, perhaps, of coming down up the rails, as it were. David James has been in touch today. Ashton away on Saturday for Rushall. Very tough game for the picks. Whatever the weather, the game will be on, as it usually is at Hurst Cross. Take a point, you betcha. Just to say, David, that a match has been called off already at Hurst Cross in the last month. And Well, hell did freeze over that day, literally. So, Ashton United against Rushall, what do you think?
Rushall, as I just mentioned, one of those teams in and around. But they'll be thinking that this is one of the few chances. They haven't got much margin for error. They are a very good side on the travels, though. Just 3 defeats in the league away from home. But as you mentioned, that pitch at Ashton, they do a great job there. Ashton with 10 home wins this season will fancy themselves.
Can I just say as well, I didn't mean that Ashton underline is hell, just to say. It was just an analogy. Although Saturday at Ikea in Ashton underline is terrible. Moving on, obviously Nantwich and Stourbridge, they're in action. They go for the third attempt of this FA Trophy match on Tuesday, I think, this week. In the coming week. If you want a preview for that match, just listen to last week's podcast. Barwell, they're in action on Saturday. They're hosting Hyde United. Where do we start with this one? You mentioned how many games Barwell have played. Just a mention on Hyde United, really. They've just had a kind of really bleh season, haven't they?
Yeah, I'm not sure what on earth's happened to Hyde. I know they're going to be without Scott Spencer for some time due to off-field issues, but they've been in dreadful form. Yeah, absolute free-fall for them. Barwell do occupy sixth place, mm-hmm. So you think, well, you know, they've got a chance, but it's just the amount of games they've played. I'm pretty sure I remember them being in this position last season as well. They obviously seem to get those games played, so someone's doing a great job down there on the pitch. But yeah, they've lost 12 games this season, and you think they're not going to quite make the playoffs, but you would certainly fancy them on Saturday on current form.
Let's flip the table on its head now and talk about the teams down the bottom end of the table. We've mentioned Whitby Town at the moment, currently fifth from bottom and doing quite well, quite dangerous. We've mentioned Ramit, they're travelling to Blyth. There's an interesting one this weekend, though, between Stourbridge and Colwyn Bay. Stourbridge, obviously, just a point from the playoff positions, and Colwyn Bay, well, what do you think?
Well, I'm certainly not going to be doing any jinxing in this game. Colwyn Bay, yeah.
Do you think the panel at the MPL show panel the people at the MPL show were right to be so dismissive of Colwyn Bay's chances of survival?
No, not at all. I mean, they're only 3 points from safety. They're right in the hunt. They do score goals. They got the 2-2 at Marine, so they've got some fighting qualities. Of course, they got that last gasp winner at Workington not too long ago, so they have still got that quality. I mean, that's the one defeat that Workington have had in the last 12 games. So Colwyn Bay have plenty of fighting qualities, so I'm definitely not writing them off, despite the fact that Stourbridge are in terrific form, as evidenced by them making the quarterfinals of the trophy.
Now, Marine are currently 4 from bottom, and we've been mentioning Marine, they've got games in hand, but that number is dropping somewhat now, isn't it? The amount of games in hand they've got. And they're hosting Matlock Town. It's probably about time now, that Marine started to string a couple of results together.
Indeed, yeah, from a Marine perspective, yes. Of course, yeah. They're just 2 points from safety, of course. They have got a game in hand on Whitby, 2 in hand on Michalova, who I do think looked a much worse side than Marine, I have to say, after seeing both of them. But yeah, they're running out of games now. Matlock, who are having a decent enough season, tough side to beat, beating Blyth in the trophy not too long ago, so they've got quality there. Marine certainly have to start turning it around. They start to need to start getting on the score sheet, and perhaps that 2-2 with Colwyn Bay on Tuesday suggests that they've just got a little bit more firepower at the moment. But yes, running out of games for sure.
And you mentioned Michalova. I mean, Michalova, we've been saying now since, I think, September, the amount of games extra they played over everyone else. They're sitting there now 5 points ahead of the relegation zone at the minute. And now they've only played 1 game more than Whitby and 2 games more than Marine. About a month ago, it was 7 games more than some teams down there. So they must be quite happy, Michalova. And this weekend, Michalova are hosting Sutton Coldfield Town. Before we get on to Michalova, just to mention for Sutton Coldfield Town, Peter Bibbins has been in touch to say, off to Michalova on Saturday, which has never been the happiest of hunting grounds for us. I don't know whether James Wren or Luke Rogers will be fit to play, so not expecting much. So that's good news for Michalova.
It is good news for Michalova, certainly, yeah. They're I think I'm just looking at the table, that Whitby and Mikulov, I think almost what's keeping them out of the bottom four is their home form. They've had a few wins at home, and yet the likes of Marine, I mean, just two wins, you know, for Marine at home, where traditionally, you know, Rossett Park was a good hunting ground for them. It was a difficult place to go. So they'll be looking at that. Just two wins at home for Colwyn Bay, just one win at home for Stamford. I think that's a bit of an issue for those sides down the bottom four, and that might be the reason why. Mikulova, of course, will again continue to try and make the home ground a difficult place to go. For Sutton Coldfield, who, of course, we say it a lot, have had a terrific first season in the Premier Division, and only five defeats on their travels. So perhaps Peter's been a little bit coy with us there. I think they've got a decent
games.
Chance.
Mind games, that's what that is. And then there's Stamford. Now, Stamford this weekend are hosting Frickley, and Stampy's been in touch to say another home hammering for Stamford as they welcome Frickley Athletic to boring Borderville. Oh, my goodness. So, Stamford...
Stampy's not a fan of that development.
No.
I think in time people will warm to it. I think all our sort of first view of a new stadium is, oh look, there's a big main stand and nothing much else, and it's a new stand and it hasn't got, you know, hasn't got that character that takes time to build. I like the fact they've got a giant grassy knoll.
I like it. Yes,
I think that's got a bit of character about it. And also the same as Northampton in the FA Cup a while back. There was a fire behind the ground, but that looked to have been extinguished without much problem. That's good.
I digress.
Stamford and Frickley. You would think on paper, just one win in the league all season for Stamford at home, that it's nailed on a Frickley win. They've got a terrific record on the travels as well, just three defeats for them away from home. And the scoring goals, James Walshaw's made a big difference to them up front. They already had good strikers there. So, yeah, you would think that Frickley would win that. Stamford, it depends what kind of mood they're in. I've seen both sides of them. First half against Whitby, Whitby should have been out of sight and winning the game 3 or 4-0 by half time. They didn't take their chances. Stamford's second half were terrific and caused all sorts of problems. So it depends which Stamford turns up on the day.
Now, there's a couple of matches taking place on Saturday which involve teams who are now comfortably mid-table, and they're taking on teams who I think have aspirations to be comfortable in mid-table. One such match is between Buxton and Grantham Town. Now, I'm going to read out, it's now time for our new regular feature, which is Joycey Roulette, I'm going to call it, where I attempt to read a piece of correspondence from Mark Joyce without actually vetting it first to see how far I get into the correspondence. So, wish me luck, everyone. What with the hammering on Tuesday night at Frickley, it sums up the state of the club. I wonder when you record this whether Macca will still be the manager at Buxton or will Hardy still be at the club. Rumours last night that Darlow had been in for him. After the win at all costs against Grantham on Saturday, we need a keeper as soon as possible, and this is not good enough for Buxton. Well, I managed to read the whole thing. All right, I edited some of it while I was reading it, but thoughts on Buxton? They've had an all right season, haven't they? But they have underperformed.
Yeah, indeed. You can tell the show isn't live. Buxton Grantham. I'd be intrigued if Darlington are actually in for Liam Hardy. I mean, they've got enough strikers as it is, and goodness knows how many
it's
they've got.
It's a long way to
up.
Travel, isn't it?
It is, but they did it with Gaskell, didn't they, from Ramsbottom?
Yeah,
so, but I think they've got staff over that way in the northwest to make it work for them. But yeah, certainly a bold move if it's true. Of course, it's just a Joycey rumour.
It's a Joycey rumour.
Grantham will be looking over their shoulders, but they're 7 points clear of the bottom four, but they've again played a lot of games. Marine have four games in hand on them. Sort of patchy form, Grantham. You think they've turned the corner and then they drop points again. Only two wins on the travels as well. And Buxton, where you would think that Martin McIntosh will be wanting a reaction from his side after that battering they got on Tuesday night. So I would fear for Grantham in that game.
I just had a thought. Maybe Joycey means that Martin McIntosh is off to Darlington.
Well, you never know. You never know.
So, that's a rumour I'm not willing to start. I'm taking that back to your listener at home. Anyway.
That'll be edited out.
Editor's note. After this interview with Andrew Snaith, which was conducted on Wednesday evening, it has since been announced that Darlington 1883 have indeed signed Buxton's Liam Harder for an undisclosed fee. You win this round, Joycey. Skelmersdale United are another side on the fringes of the relegation zone, but it's become a bit more comfortable for them. They're taking on Ilkeston this weekend. I think that win against Colwyn Bay and the win against Hyde has made it a bit more comfortable for Skem.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they've got 8 wins this season. They're a decent enough side. Certainly at home as well. They've got a very good home record. 6 wins is 4 defeats. As you say, that win against Colwyn Bay and a comfortable one at that just emphasised that. They've got a steady away goal difference. I think Skelmersdale should have enough to stay safe. Not quite sure what to expect from Ilkeston. I think your surmisation that they're a mid-table side is probably about right. Could go either way. 2 teams that like to play good football. Could be a very good game of football, actually, that one.
And lastly, I've left this last just because why have I left this last? Let's just say next up, without saying it was last, lastly but not leastly, we've got this match here. It's Nantwich Town against Hales Owen Town. And with everything that's been going on at the Weaver Stadium this past week to try and get this match on against Stourbridge in the FA Trophy, what do you think for this one?
Yeah, Nantwich have just slipped a little bit, possibly because of those cup commitments. They've got a great record at home, just 3 defeats there. It's interesting whether they can just get back into that playoff picture. I wonder about them. I really do. Hillzone, possibly the very epitome of mid-table mediocrity for them. But they'll probably regard that as a useful enough season, I think. But there was a lot of uncertainty, I think, when we did our preview to the season from Hillzone fans. They were fearful. I would fancy Nantwich having seen them. They always create chances. But it'll be interesting to see whether they can get back into that playoff picture. I'm not sure.
Well, Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio, thank you for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra. And obviously, this weekend, there's only one show in town, isn't there?
I'm going to take a punt and hope that you're talking about Whitby Town Radio.
Of course.
We've got 2 big games at home, Whitby, this week, both live on Whitby Town Radio. First of all, second place Workington on Saturday and Ashton next Wednesday. Fourth place Ashton. You can hear them both at whitby-town.com. Follow the links in the top corner of the screen and listen in to myself and Paul Connolly with some inane Yorkshire drivel.
And we should say as well, don't forget that FA Trophy third round match, Nantwich Town against Stourbridge on Tuesday. For a full preview of that, listen to last week's podcast. But Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio, thank you for joining us this week on the show, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks a lot, Ben.
And now for your correspondence. On the back of our glorious victory over the resurgent New Mills, Clitheroe will be looking to bank another 3 points away at Scarborough this weekend. Mark my words, we're the dark horses for the playoffs this season. Come on, you Blues. And that piece of correspondence comes in from Nick Harling. And on the other side of the fence, Jonathan Wood has been in touch to say, my last 4 home games have been 3-0 defeats, so I can confidently predict Scarborough 0, Clitheroe 3. Ian Wilkerson has been in touch to say it's a must win between Farsley and Lancaster for both teams, but he's going for a home win. Whilst up at the top, Phil Harrison has been in touch to say Vicks will be looking for maximum points at home to Drolsden after a commanding 5-star 5-0 victory last night. Mind the gap, Warrington, we're coming to get you. He does say in brackets though, I may regret posting that. Well, you should know, Phil, who knows what's going to happen next in Division 1 North. To Division 1 South now, and Rob Ramskill has been in touch to say Gould play Chase Town away, then at home, so hoping for 4 points out of 6 to drag us away from the bottom 2. A little bit, anyway. Ian Lummis, Gresley away at Leek, the scene where our playoff hopes went up in smoke last season, losing 2 of our best players in the first 20 minutes and a goal to a very well hit but disputed free kick. We need to go out and show the same fight we've had the last few weeks under Ricketts, especially at Stocksbridge. To the Premier Division now, and John Booth has been in touch to say Hyde United to just nick it away to Barwell. We need a win soon, and now's a good time as any. 4 new players and the return of Adam Jones gives me a reason to believe. while Rob Lloyd has been in touch to say Hale's Owen away at Nantwich. Three consecutive defeats for the Yelts means we need to stop the rot. We never seem to do well against Nantwich, so I'd be chuffed with anything from there. While Johnny Crowe has been in touch to say, first of all, no more rain, please. Then 3 points for Nantwich at home to Hales Owen, followed by a terrific All-MPL FA Trophy tie between Nantwich Town and Stourbridge on Tuesday night. And speaking of which, we're going to end with a comment from Richard Clark. Stourbridge v Colwyn Bay. On paper, a home win, but we haven't always found it easy at home this season. A mention for Liam Broadhurst, who should at last make his 600th appearance for Stourbridge after the two trophy postponements. So a big congratulations to Liam Broadhurst. And that, dear listener, on that happy, delightful note, is the end of this week's Wall of Correspondence. Tune in next week for another wall littered with your beautiful correspondence. Back over to you, Ben. Well, that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. We hope you've enjoyed this week's show. Remember, you can follow the show on Twitter, that's at NPL Show, and you can get involved with all the discussions and chatter and shock, that's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. But that's it from me for this week. A big thank you to all my guests for joining me, and a big thank you to you, dear listener, for joining me as well. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.